You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are talking
while married.
Well, after a long day at work today for both of us, I thought we could just sit down with a nice cup of hot tea and talk about the news. What about the Mueller investigation?
Well, I think it's what we always knew, that it's been a farce from day one, and it still is. And after $30 million that we've wasted...
in 18 months.
Yeah, nothing's really coming of it.
You know, there's no there.
Well, doesn't it seem like if you talk to them, you get accused of lying?
Well,
except
sure.
For Hillary.
Well, you know, this FBI sets up things that are referred to as perjury traps in the method that they interrogate. You know, so I don't find this agency any more to have any credibility whatsoever. I'm extremely disappointed in the FBI and in the past leadership of the FBI with Comey and before him, his mentor, Mueller, who's the chief investigator here. 18 months, $30 million, and all you can do is try to take some people down for lying to the FBI over inconsequential things that had nothing to do with Donald Trump. And you know how I know this? Because they just came out today with the sentencing papers for General Flynn. And they are recommending no jail time, no prison time for him, and his offense was lying to the FBI. But here's the point. When they do the sentencing papers, they have to put down in the sentencing paper what the offense was that the person committed. In other words, they have to be somewhat explicit about not only did General Flynn allegedly lie to them, but what did he lie about? And when you read the charging papers, you can see right away that there is not one shred of evidence or proof that there was any collusion between President Donald Trump and the Russians.
Well, no, and I don't even think that the charges had anything to do with that whatsoever. It had to do with Turkey and...
Well, with Flynn's business dealings with,
right,
Turkey,
with Turkey.
Not with President Trump's business dealings with anybody, not especially not the Russians.
When you have an investigation that's allegedly started for this whole Russian thing, which has already been proven through these people that have been fired from the FBI to have been a master plan of theirs to get rid of Trump, to kind of frame him and get rid of him, which didn't work. And then you hire as the chief attorney here,
the investigator,
you hire the guy at the FBI who got fired's best friend.
I mean, mentor.
This was wrong from day one. Everybody knows that it was a witch hunt. It always has been a witch hunt. And we have wasted a lot of time and a lot of money in this country. And I'm disgusted with the entire process. The fact that it's even still going on, and how much longer will it go on? Because every other day they say, well, I think it's winding down. And it hasn't wound down. It just keeps on ticking.
Well, you know, and then the other thing, and I saw a very interesting cartoon. You know when they say, a picture's worth a thousand words?
Yeah.
So the cartoon that I saw, and I don't know who the cartoonist was, but it had two Dipsy dumpsters. And in one Dipsy dumpster, which was completely empty, and it said President Trump, Russia collusion on the outside of it, inside there was Mueller with an eyeglass, you know, like a microscope glass, okay? And then in the other Dipsy dumpster, it was overflowing with trash bags that said Hillary Clinton email scandal, Benghazi, the Clinton Foundation, you know, all this stuff that is her baggage. And of course, Mueller's not in that garbage can. Okay, he's in the Trump garbage can,
right,
that's completely empty. And I just thought that was so telling.
Well, it is, and that's exactly how it sounds. the whole investigation. But there's a whole lot of other things going on about Mueller right now. Well, you know, in the turnabout is fair play scenario, Jerome Corsi, who is an author and he's a friend of Stone's, has filed a suit against Mueller, claiming that Mueller was he is claiming misconduct on his part, in that he's accusing him of lying, and what Corsi says is that he is trying to make him lie. And so he's accusing him of misconduct. And, you know, I really wish that a lot more people would have done that, because you can run a list on both hands of the people that Mueller has accused of lying. All of them Republicans, by the way. And despite the fact that there were a lot of Democrats involved in so many different things, not any of them are being investigated. So I'm really glad that somebody took the bull by the horns here and turn it back around on Mueller. And I hope that he gets a good judge in that case and something comes of that. And the other thing that I think is really interesting with Mueller is this thing that the FBI has raided the home of the whistleblower who had the documents regarding the Clinton Foundation and Uranium One. Now, we have a law in this country about whistleblowers, and they are protected. And especially in federal cases, they're protected. And the guy, the federal government went in and they raided his home to get documents that they say are illegal for him to possess and that were stolen. Yet he had already turned those documents over for investigation, and he still had a copy, and they wanted his copy, okay? So despite the fact that that he told them at the door that he is protected by the whistleblower laws, they came in anyway. And then they proceeded to spend 6 hours and tear his house apart. And he gave them the flash drive. And then they proceeded to, afterwards, try to talk to him about the documents rather than go through his lawyer, which is another impropriety. Well, when all of this happened with Uranium One, guess who the director of the FBI was?
Well, it was Mueller.
It was Mueller. And Mueller declined to take a look at this when it was given to him.
Well, you know, let me play devil's advocate a little bit with this, and we'll see where the you know, cards fall. But yes, whistleblowers are protected as long as the information that they reveal is lawfully obtained. Okay, so if they steal paperwork, documents and things like that, if they remove the documents from a secure location, that I know is a federal crime. So I would argue, and I don't know what the circumstances are, but I would argue that he's not completely protected, okay? A magistrate had to have found that there was sufficient probable cause to believe that a crime had occurred in order to issue the search warrant, because that is the minimum standard of proof that's required when an affiant goes to a judge and requests a warrant to search or seize something.
Okay, now, and I don't disagree with you, but he has already been recognized by the Justice Department Inspector General, Michael Horowitz, as a whistleblower with whistleblower status.
No, I'm not disagreeing with that, and I can completely see how that would happen, because if that part of the Justice Department or the Inspector General believes that he's a percipient witness in a case, he can label an individual as a whistleblower and give them protection, as you stated before. But again, the caveat is there can't be a predicate crime, all right? So he can't have gone into a secure facility, stolen documents, brought those documents out, brought those documents to light as a whistleblower, and then request immunity from prosecution on the theft. He has a freedom of speech. He is protected as a whistleblower to discuss any knowledge he has, but whether or not he can use the evidence that was unlawfully obtained, that's another thing, okay? Because I think that that becomes, Linda, and I think you know the old term, fruits of the poisonous tree, okay?
Right.
And again, I don't know what the circumstances are, but that's my understanding as to whether a whistleblower can be protected or not and under what circumstances.
Well, the interesting thing about this article, and I don't see any allegation against him of what you're talking about, but the interesting thing to me is that the then FBI director, Robert Mueller, failed to investigate allegations of criminal misconduct at the time to Rosatom and other Russian government entities that were attached to that Uranium One fiasco with Hillary. So this guy, in the process of his job, he found out about these documents. The thing is that it's another irony that Mueller is in the position he's in when he was the director of the FBI, he failed to investigate Hillary Clinton for her doings with the Uranium One with the Russians.
Right.
Which was way bigger than anything Trump would have ever done.
Yeah, but you know what? And again, you know, not an attorney, but stayed in a Holiday Inn once. Let's talk about this paperwork and a future prosecution. So let's just, hypothetically, these papers come to light, and these papers are incriminating to Hillary Clinton and the Clinton Foundation with respect to Uranium One, okay? And mm-hmm. that is real collusion with
yes,
the Russians.
Yes, that is real collusion,
I don't think there
yes.
is any doubt. When you sell, as a Secretary of State, you sell 20%, you arrange for the sale of 20% of United States uranium to a foreign government that is adversarial to the interests, and especially the security interests of the United States, that and for money, that is that should be criminal, okay?
Yes.
But, so here's the interesting conundrum. I don't know if I have an answer. But, so the guy steals, let's say hypothetically, someone steals this paperwork that is incriminating paperwork, and they steal it out of a secure facility that nobody previously knew existed except the actors, okay, that, you know, did the memos or whatever
right.
the heck they did. So now the FBI goes in with a search warrant and they recover these documents. The question would be, is now can the FBI turn around in a separate prosecution and use those documents in the prosecution of the actors that were originally involved? Do you see my point?
Well, I don't know why they couldn't, but the thing is,
because they didn't steal them.
No,
see, that's the caveat. They didn't steal them. Somebody else stole them.
It's still probably
and they're federal
documents. The poisonous tree,
but no, because they're federal documents.
Yes, but the thing is that Mueller knew about this when he was the director of the FBI, and he did nothing about it.
Okay, so let me get this right, so I get good context. Are you saying that Mueller, when he was director of the FBI, knew of the existence of these documents?
No.
Okay, he just knew that there was something shady going on in the Clinton Foundation with respect to Uranium One and the Russians? What did Mueller know?
Mueller knew that there was something going on with this deal that was dirty, okay, with the whole uranium thing. So they were informed that there were documents that show that federal officials failed to investigate potential criminal activity regarding Hillary Clinton and the whole Uranium One deal. And he did nothing to investigate it. He was told and informed that there was documents and evidence to support those allegations.
A collusion mm-hmm. between the Clinton
yes.
Foundation.
A criminal
right.
collusion.
I get, well,
yes.
that's it. Mm-hmm. It would have to be for
yeah.
the FBI. They don't get involved in administrative things. Well, that's pretty interesting.
So it's just ironic to me that he's even in this position on this witch hunt against President Trump, when it's like you always say, you know, about the guy behind the curtain.
Right. Don't pay any attention to the guy behind the curtain.
And that's what we're doing. We're all looking at Trump, where the real bad actors are somewhere else.
Well, and who investigates the investigators, right? I mean, just how far is the reach of the inspector general? And I don't know the answer to that, because I don't know a lot about the protocols and politics of Washington, D.C., and the various jurisdictions and what their parameters or guidelines are.
Well, thank God for the inspector general, because if we didn't even have some of those guys, we wouldn't have the guys that were fired at the FBI.
Yeah. You know, the unfortunate thing about this is that President Trump has just got to let this thing run out. That, you know, he's just got to let it go, because he'd be accused, as he's been accused on multiple occasions, of trying to stymie, thwart, or downright end the Mueller investigation. And I think Trump is playing it must be extremely frustrating, but I think he's playing it right. Let it run out. It's not going anywhere. And especially if he knows that he didn't collude with the Russians, then he's clean. You know, I think the frustrating thing about that, if the president is in fact clean, and I would like to believe that he is that this is just a complete distraction of his of his presidency and everything he's trying to do. You know, again, like we both, you know, kid around with, don't pay any attention to the man behind the curtain. You know, look at what's up in front. And I think that's a pretty serious situation. I'll tell you what, Lynn, as a guy that's been in law enforcement his entire life, this kind of stuff scares the bejesus out of me, because this means that the FBI can go around virtually unchecked and be in complete violation of people's Fourth and Fifth Amendment rights, you know? And then I also understand, you know, speaking of that just very quickly, that when they went into the house with the search warrant, then they tried to interrogate this guy. Well, hopefully the FBI Mirandized him, but once the guy invokes, you know, the right to counsel, that's got to stop. So I don't know what happened once they went in that house. But it remains to be seen.
Let the silent voices be heard. It's the rallying call that started it all. AmericaOutloud.com. For a wide spectrum of programming, from world and political news, societal and cultural stories, law enforcement, our military heroes, and much more. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Ron Martinelli, forensic criminologist and host of A Thread of Evidence on America Out Loud. If you'd like to find out what forensic criminologists really do in the field, and you're tired of the false narratives about law enforcement and want to unpack the cases that I've worked throughout the nation, then please pick up a copy of my new book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, on sale right now at Amazon.com. That's The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police at Amazon.com.
Well, we get to say a fond farewell to President George H.W. Bush, who passed away at age 94. And, you know, by all accounts and from all sides, Ron, he was a very good man.
Yeah, I think he was unique as a president in that he basically, you know, got along with everybody. He wasn't mean-spirited. He wasn't a braggadocio. He was a pretty cool guy. And, you know, just as an aside, I lived across the street from a man that was an attorney, a retired attorney, who actually served in the same torpedo bomber squadron during World War II in the Pacific Theater as George Bush. As a matter of fact, he was a friend to George, Herbert Walker Bush, and told me some really interesting stories about him. So, you know, Bush really was a World War II hero. He was thought of that by the guys in his squadron. And, you know, during that battle where his torpedo bomber was shot down, I believe he was the only guy that survived out of that aircraft. I think there were three guys in the aircraft. I think there was the Bush, who was the pilot. Then he had a navigator, and then he had a machine gunner bombardier. And there were a number of planes that were shot down during that battle. And I believe that Bush was the only person that was rescued when their planes crashed. So the guy had a hell of a legacy. You know, I feel bad because during the course of his presidency, he made a huge mistake when he gave in to the Democrats. And you remember the speech.
I do.
You know, no more new taxes.
Read my lips.
No more new taxes. And that isn't what happened. And that's exactly what cost him his presidency, I think, according to all the historians.
Well, I agree. And I remember that happening. I remember
the speech.
Yes.
Remember?
I distinctly remember this speech, and I remember being so disappointed when all of a sudden we got new taxes, and he did give in to the Democrats, and I know that he must have regretted it. I know that at the time he truly, truly felt he had no option because he felt that the country needed those taxes at the time, but it was a mistake, and it did cost him. And, you know, I was reflecting today on, had he had that second term, Ron, where would the country be?
Right.
And where would we have gone with all the presidencies
after?
It's a fascinating thing to think about because I think it would have changed the course of history.
You know, I do too. And it's so funny that you mentioned it about your reflections because, you know, great minds think alike. And my reflection was exactly like yours. So, you know, it's wonderful to see people come from all over Washington and actually now all over the world and come to pay their respects to our former president, 41. Did you see the train from Houston that they completely painted in the presidential colors and the number and had the presidential seal, you know, to carry his body partway?
Mm-hmm.
And It was the train number was 4141. Right? And then from there, I think, you know, of course, President Trump has assigned either Air Force One or two.
Air Force One went and got him.
Okay.
Yes.
And, of course, they changed the call numbers. And it was
a
Special Operation 41 or something like that. So he's lying in state. I know President Trump and Melania were there paying their respects. I saw the president, you know, give a hand salute to George Bush. It looked very sincere. The meeting later between the Trumps and the Bush family, I thought was sincere. And I was listening to Jeb Bush. If anybody should feel bad or have, you know, a bad feeling about President Trump, it's Jeb Bush because of the very contentious election. And he said right on television today that he really appreciated President Trump's sentiments and respect for his dad.
Well, and I think that this is a time for them to put everything else aside and give respect to the man that deserves that respect. So, you know, it was bound to happen. You know, when Barbara died in April, I felt that George wouldn't last too long because they'd been married 73 years. They were just very, very devoted to one another.
You know, that's so incredible. It kind of reminded me when they passed so close. I think it was, 7 months apart? When they passed, I kind of remembered, reminded of my Italian grandparents on my dad's side, both of them 94 years old, and they passed within 3 months of each other. My grandfather died first, and my grandmother died 3 months afterwards.
Well, and sometimes they just want to join their partner, and, you know, God bless them both. They were They were both just instrumental to a time in our country, and they will be fondly remembered. There's really nothing you can say bad about them.
Oh, no, not at all. And I think that, President Bush 41 was a great role model. He typified a person that always was kind to everyone, especially to people on the opposite side of the aisle. He was well-respected. Of course, the Democrats disagreed with him, but at least they respected him. And because he's a Navy guy, I'm going to wish him fair winds and following seas.
Yes. I do want to say one thing that I don't agree with, that the Republican leaders in the House and the Senate decided that out of respect for President Bush's passing, that they would delay votes on all of their crucial issues. And I don't agree with that. I think that they should have dug in and worked even harder. They have a very short timeline right now, and they cannot afford to be wasting it by doing nothing. I don't think that that respects President Bush. I think what would respect him is to move on and get things done for the American people.
Well, you know,
I'm disappointed.
Well, you know what? You raised a good point, and I had not heard that. But yeah, these guys haven't done a darn thing. And it's so disappointing constantly hearing rhetoric and nothing moving forward. That has to stop. And again, there has to be better relationships between both sides of the aisle so that we can get at least some things accomplished. I would love to see the border wall issue get accomplished. I'd like to see all the money that President Trump has requested to repair and build the new border wall and to, fund the Border Patrol, which is, as everybody can see, are grossly undermanned. They do an amazing job. You and I, because being on the PBR circuit, we have met so many Border Patrol agents because they sponsor the PBR.
And they're always there.
And they're always there. And what a wonderful group of men and women that every single day sacrifice their personal safety to keep us safe.
Yes.
And so a huge thanks going out to them. But, I want to talk about this whole border wall issue, especially, today we saw some infrared video at the Arizona border with Mexico, and we saw some parents dropping their 2-year-old son and another small child. One guy's up on top of the wall, so he's 18 feet from the ground.
The guy on top of the wall was the coyote.
Okay.
And the people that had already dropped down were the family.
Okay.
And he was dropping the kids down to the family.
18 feet.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So
one child was seriously injured with facial injuries.
Sincere liberal people, they have to reflect on that, and they should be asking themselves, are these the kind of people that we want in the United States? Who would allow to have their 2-year-old child dropped from a height of 18 feet and sustain serious injuries? If this was anywhere else, they'd be prosecuted for child abuse.
Well, they should be prosecuted for child abuse. But no, Ron, what the people that you're speaking about would say is it just shows how desperate they are and what horrible conditions that they had that they need to run away from, that they would risk their life for. That is the mantra that they say. So all of those people that are in Tijuana there, according to some, are all just refugees from political whatever, and living in danger, and they all need asylum. So we all know that that's not true.
Well, there are they've already identified between the United States government and the Mexican government, they've already identified 600 convicted felons, from everything from murder to robbery, sure, to kidnapping, to sexual assault, to drug trafficking, to pimping, pandering, all of that. And it's amazing, the Border Patrol statistics that I heard just today. I've heard them before, but it was just a repetition that apparently they intercept about 10 suspected terrorists a day.
A day.
Trying to sneak into the United States. So if you just look at it in terms of a week, that's 70 people. So Linda, just get at your notepad for a second, and what's 70 times 52? You know, it's got to be thousands,
right? It's like 3,500, right?
Okay. So,
something like that.
All right. So 3,500 suspected terrorists in the United States a year if the Border Patrol did not thwart them?
Well, it's 10 a day. Is that what you said?
10 a day.
10 a day times
365. So that would be
3,650, right?
3,650. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So you're right in there. So how terrible. And then, you and I have kind of tongue-in-cheek talked about how sorry we feel, for the Mexicans in Mexico, especially Tijuana, because now they have to put up with all these so-called refugees from these caravans. But my God, they should have stopped it at their southern border. They should have stopped this years and years and years ago. And I don't understand why the Mexican government and the United States government do not work to curb this serious problem that hurts both countries. Now, what I did hear this week is that apparently our State Department is trying to work with the Mexican government, the Guatemalan government, and the Honduran government and provide some sort of programs or something to, slow down or mitigate this influx, constant influx of refugee invaders into the United States. But, you brought up during one of our other conversations this week that the brother of the Honduran president was he arrested for trying,
yes,
to smuggle in tons of what? Coke?
Cocaine, yes.
Of cocaine. Mm-hmm. So how are you going to get a government like that like Honduras to cooperate with anything that we would try to do
to
stop the flow of people, yeah, escaping their country and coming into ours?
I don't think that they will. So what we've done now in the U.S. is General Mattis has extended the time that our troops are down at the border. Right now it is extended to January 31st. So, you have to wonder if these people that are at the border, are they going to stay there? Or are they going to get tired of this? And, a lot of people are getting ill. They had a big rain. There's another big rain due. This has to be pretty miserable for people.
Well, I think it is. And, I think we were talking the other night. We said something like 30% of these people have respiratory illnesses. I know there has been reports of chicken pox. I know they're going through hepatitis is going right through all of these people in the caravan. I think there's three or four cases of AIDS.
There was many more than that.
Okay. Well, yeah. Okay. So your information's a little bit more current than mine, but it is a serious issue. And I'm going to tell you what, who am I? But I think we ought to put twice as many military personnel out on that border to stop it, because we have to make those people so frustrated that they won't ever want to come back again.
Well, and this is all the more reason why I'm extremely frustrated that our Republicans have decided to take the rest of the week off,
yeah,
and not vote on these critical issues when the new Democratic Congress comes in January 3rd.
Yeah.
We don't have a lot of time.
No.
We didn't have a lot of time, and you just wasted, yeah, another week of it.
Well, you
and it's
hit
like any excuse to waste a week.
So essentially what the Republicans are doing, and I'm sure a lot of the Democrats, is that they're just going to run out the clock until next year. But you know what? The Democrats are going to come in like that Blue Wave, and they're already working on their programs and things, and I think the Republicans are going to get, you know, caught behind that wave.
Well, do you know what the Democrats' first bill is? They've already developed their first bill and announced it.
No, I haven't. Fill me in.
It is to make a bill that requires any presidential candidate to turn in their taxes and make it retroactive to President Trump. So their whole first thing that they do is a gotcha on the president again.
Well, again, they're not taking care of business.
Of course not.
For the American people. And this is what we're going to see going all the way to 2020, unfortunately. And I think if they keep this up, I'm just going to be a soothsayer, I think they're going to get their butts handed to them again, just like they got their butts handed to them in 2016.
Well, I really hope so, because another 2 years of a do-nothing Congress will just be unbearable.
And hopefully the Republicans learn something from this past election cycle, and they're not going to make the serious mistakes that they made that cost us some congressional seats.
Tired of watching the same old sporting events? Well, kick it up a notch and get ready, America, for something you've never seen before. It's the new generation of Western superstars. Shorty Gorham's American Freestyle Bullfighting. Who will win? The acrobatic, tough-as-nails Western superstar or the meanest half-ton fighting bulls on Earth? This is one of the most extreme sports you'll ever see in an arena. This is hand-to-horn combat on a level playing field. Go to ShortyGorhamAFB.com or find them on Facebook. It's bullfighting time.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount, or call 844-869-9958.
So, Lynn, have you been following the story about North Carolina State University and the tearing down of the Confederate statues on campus?
I have. It's one of many instances in this country where this has been happening.
So apparently in the state of North Carolina, they've had over 100, I think it's something like 160 Confederate statues desecrated and torn down so far this year, which is against the state law.
Well, I've written about this, and it's not just in North Carolina, it's all over, but
yeah.
But particularly in North Carolina, they've had this happen. And the thing that's amazing about this to me is just the ignorance of the students that are doing this, and the kind of the pompousness and the all about me attitude, where history is everybody's history, Ron. History belongs to all of us, and it cannot be changed. So anything that happens 1 second ago, 1 moment ago, 1,000 years ago cannot be changed. It cannot be undone. Yet here they are in their own little world, and they're deciding to take that from all of us. I'm just insulted by it.
Well, you know, they're so offended by everything. And the analogy that I thought of right away was when the Taliban, and now it's ISIS, they go into these areas where there had been, religious statues and, you know, the big digs, right, going back to the days of the pharaohs. I know that's Egypt, but, you know, like in Iran and in Syria and these different countries where you have all this ancient artifacts and these statues and these tombs, and they just blow them up with explosives or
right.
army tanks or something like that and completely obliterate them because it doesn't mesh with their religious craziness and their ideology.
Treasures from history.
That are lost forever. Mm-hmm. And so what they try to do is expunge history just like these kids are doing in the United States. And you and I are blessed because we get to travel all over the world. And we were just in Europe again this summer. And, of course, we're in the cradle of history, especially religious
yes.
history. And, I mean, we are looking at, you know, the things that were done by the Romans and during the Middle Ages. And, you know, those were horrible times for certain people, especially Christians. You know, the Roman Colosseum, what took place in there? Not just gladiatorial games, but the crucifixions and the burnings and the animal killings of Christians there. In the Middle Ages, the burning of Christians, again, the extreme torture of Christians, you know, the Dark Ages, all of that was bad, going all the way up to Benito Mussolini in Italy. We spent a glorious time in Florence and in Tuscany, and Adolf Hitler in Germany. And when we went through those countries, we saw that they don't destroy the history.
That's correct. And, you know, I mean, a couple of things that you mentioned made me think of with the history of all the things that you just spoke about. You're right that things back in the Roman years and different times in history were horrible. People did horrible, horrible things to one another. And we today need to know that because we can then put today in context with how far we've come. And this is something that when our schools have stopped teaching our students history and stopped teaching them ancient history, American history.
Or teaching revisionist history.
Well, they are teaching revision. Yes, that's what they're teaching. But they aren't teaching them the things that truly, truly happened and the whys of how they happened. And that a lot of these people in our Civil War were not bad people on either side. For the time and the day of life that that was, these are the things that happened. But they're real things, and we learn from them. And Europe has learned from them in many, many ways. And we are losing that in our country because we do not teach it. And I think that that's on purpose. And it's so important because these students have robbed and stolen from the future generations, Ron, the ability to look at this history and make their own decisions, which they have the right to do.
Yeah, you know, I would not want them, of course, to tear down any statues, even the ones, obviously, that appear to be offensive to them because, you know, they believe that these statues represent, you know, an era of white supremacy or something like that. Rather, I would have them keep those statues, but then build a statue next to it about whatever, about slavery, about how slaves suffered, about how other people suffered. Okay? And that way, a person that is trying to get some context and understanding of what America was all about can look at each side. You know, just like in Germany, where they kept that, that giant Colosseum mm-hmm. rotunda that they, in Nuremberg, that they ran out of money for, okay, because of the war. And they put the Hall of Remembrance in there. And the hall, as you remember, it's a state law that every kid in school, during elementary school, and again in high school, before they go to university, They're mandated to spend an entire day there. They must come from all over Germany. They bus them in, and they spend an entire day in that five-story structure, which is just the most outstanding historic representation of the rise and fall of the Third Reich, with all of the Holocaust in there, all of the horrible things.
Right.
And what they tell them to do is never forget, number one, and number two, question authority. What a marvelous education in German history, some of which we know is atrocious.
Yes, and this is how people learn not to do these things again. And by taking away these statues and the things in our country, our future generation, the next generation, the one after that, are not going to have the same perspective of history that's true. And it's not fair. So these selfish students and these selfish people who are removing these statues because they have some dislike about it, and because now it's politically correct to pick on white guys and say that we're all...
Well, these are fake social warriors.
Yes.
Okay?
But how self-centered and how selfish are they to think that this is their fight? This is the entire country's legacy. It is not theirs.
And it's not always good, as we said.
Yes.
Let me give you another argument here that I think will resonate with you as an old history teacher. You remember when I was teaching high school history? And I don't remember who said it, somebody famous, but they said, you know, if you don't understand history, you're condemned to repeat it.
Oh, yes.
Okay?
Yes.
And,
We've talked about that before.
So yeah. here's my argument. If you tear everything down so it doesn't exist anymore, so you have no context, you have no visual context, okay, and you don't teach history, and you don't teach civics, or you teach a revisionist, feel-good history that is not accurate, and those kids have no context, they will absolutely be condemned to repeat the bad history.
Well, Ron, you have the entire world wanting to get into the best place in the world, the United States of America, and you have a generation of people here in the United States who want to become Venezuela. I mean, just explain that to me. You had a very, very rich democratic country in Venezuela who is now just bankrupt.
I think it had... 10 years ago, it had the second, the best economy, I mean, per capita,
right,
the best economy in the world.
In the world.
And now it's got one of the worst.
And they've destroyed it. And that
in
is
10
what,
years.
When you have socialist people like Bernie Sanders and Ocasio-Cortez.
Elizabeth Warren and
all these people.
Right.
Wanting to change our country to a model of country that has never worked in history. Never. Show me anywhere that is socialistic that works.
That's right.
And yeah. And that's what they want to change to. I'm just confused about it. And I don't understand it. And yet you have our youth jumping on this bandwagon as though it's a good thing to do.
Well, you know, you brought up something with regards to how these young millennials feel about the United States. So I want to bring up a brand new survey from the Foundation for Liberty and American Greatness. They just did this survey on like a month ago, and they asked some questions to millennials 14 to 37 years old, and there was some pretty disappointing statistics and findings by this organization. 56% of young Americans 14 to 37 disagreed with the statement that America is the greatest country in the world. 56% of those people. 54% of that same age group, 14 to 37, believe that America is a racist country. And it gets worse, Lynn, because the survey showed that one in five millennials see the United States flag as a symbol of intolerance and hatred, and two out of the five think it's okay to burn the United States flag, Old Glory.
Well, and I place this squarely in two places. Three places. One, I place it squarely on the media. Two, I place it squarely on our educators who are all liberal, who feed them this diet of liberal, socio-economic type garbage, and they revise history, as you say. And three, on the parents who should know better and make sure that their students are being taught, their children are being taught the proper things in schools, demand it, demand that they get true history. And instead, they're too busy doing everything else in their life, and the school has become a babysitter, and this is what we get.
Well, you know, I'm going to place a lot more of this on the school. And I'll tell you what, I think it's by design. I think it's conspiratorial. And it's specifically designed to create an atmosphere where kids now do not resonate with the concept of American greatness, American nationalism, and American patriotism. They don't, none of that resonates. And here's the thing that scares the bejesus out of me. When you think so bad of your country, where you think it's racist, and you have no history or context of what we were like when we really were racist, and you have no context of how forward the country has moved with respect to getting rid of our racism and our, you know, white supremacist attitudes and things like that, and how we have really moved towards becoming a more tolerant and diverse society. When you don't have that context, and all you think is that America is intolerant and racist, and you're willing to burn the American flag, you are not willing to fight for this country. And I think that's what our adversaries want.
Oh,
they,
I agree,
do not want the progeny of America to defend this nation if we should go to war. And I'm scared, I'll be honest with you, I'm scared that if we ever went to war 5 years from now, 10 years from now, with this same group of millennials from 14 to 37, for God's sakes, we would lose a war.
Well, and these are people that honestly do not know what they're doing. They don't know what they're thinking, and they have been basically brainwashed. I would ask those, that same group this question. Tell me, these people that don't think that America is the best country on earth,
correct,
tell me who is.
Well, tell me why all these people are coming into,
right,
this country. Why are they climbing over 18-foot walls and throwing their kids over the walls?
Right. Who would they emulate in the world if not ourselves? And it's because they, again, they have no context. I'm sure that most of them are not well-traveled in any way. And if they are, they're probably staying in a hotel with their parents. So, you know, but when you travel around the world, when you see how other people live, we are so far beyond what other countries are and what, how other people live. We are the richest nation in the world by far as how our people live, Ron. And they just don't know it because they hear constant bad mouthing. And I'll tell you what, President Obama took race relations in this country back 100 years, in my opinion. He absolutely told a whole generation that everybody is racist, and that has stuck. And that's very frustrating because, just one interesting tidbit, I was getting my eyelashes done this evening, and the gal doing it said to me that she is so sick to death of being called a racist because she's white, and being called all of these names that we are all called. She said, I'm not a racist. And just because I voted for President Trump doesn't mean I'm racist. Or just because of this, I'm not that. The name calling is ridiculous, but it's sticking with these young people.
Well, I'll tell you what, I do have hopes. I am optimistic that people like that young lady, like you and I, you know, are fed up and will express our frustrations in the voting booth. But Republicans and conservatives have got to do a much better job at forwarding what it is to be a conservative, what it is to be a Republican. You know, when we were driving home from the from that eyelash appointment, he did say
something.
And by
the way, thank you so much for waiting for me there.
I was working on a computer in the car. But listen, you know, and I just want to close out with this because it was a good sentiment that you expressed to me. And, you know, you and I, we love these, you know, coffee conversations every night. And, you know, we're just, you know, getting through our frustrations, but, you know, working out the issues of the country. And you said, you know what, Ron, that woman talks just like you and I talk every single night. And I'll tell you what, I think you and I both agree that there are millions of American men and women, couples, just like this, that are sitting around a coffee table with a beer or a cup of coffee or some nice hot tea and are having conversations just like this to make America great again.
I absolutely believe that, and that is where my passion lies.
And I'm ready for bed. How about you?
I'm ready to go.